It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everybody here. You know, it is last Sunday, 2020, and some people say, "Whoa, I'll be glad to get 2020 behind me." You don't know what 2021 holds. What we need to do, and I sometimes have to remind myself this, is learn how to live today and be everything I can be today for the Lord. You know, time goes by. Christmas went by quick. Remember what it was like when you were younger? I think about it a lot of times. I can still remember some of my earlier days just like they were actually yesterday. Now, I remember my 15th summer very vividly when I was 15 years old. I rode a yellow and white bicycle. My 15th summer was 10 years long. I could not wait to my birthday in December so I could get a license, so I could drive, so I could go get a job. You know, you remember those times. Then I could not wait till I got out of high school so I could get away from that. I didn't like school. Then I got to paying some car insurance, and I can remember thinking, boy, I'll be glad when I get 25 so my insurance will go down. You go through those things in life, and then you turn around and you realize that a lot of those years are behind you. And you look back, and you know, what we really need to do, whether it be 2020 or 2021, is learn how to be what God wants us to be right in the middle of where we're at. And you know, you look at your life, and this morning the message that we feel like God's put on our heart is the resolution of a godly man. I want you to think about this for just a minute. We're going to read out of Joshua chapter number 24, and we're going to look at Joshua as an example. But every person, their life and the motivation of their life is driven by something. You know, I like the song, Brother Jeff, that you say you wrote that song. It's a great song. It's kind of like the verse over there where it talks about in the book of Ezra, for such a time as this. It's for such a time as this. And it fits with today and it fits with this church. But you know, everybody's got a something that motivates or drives their life. If your life is motivated by or driven by a relationship with God, then it's going to show. It's going to show in the decisions you make. It's going to show in the things that you do. If your life is motivated by or driven by some type of agenda, it's going to show there as well. And I've seen people that had an agenda, a personal agenda, and the things they say, the things that come out of their mouth, and sometimes even from the pulpit, I've seen preachers get in the pulpit and they have an agenda and they preach toward that agenda to get people to follow that agenda. Well, I want to tell you how I feel about that. This is not my pulpit, this is God's. And it's very important to me that I am led by Him and His Spirit, even sometimes if He has me to preach on things that I don't even want to preach on. I want to be listening close to His Spirit and His voice. But what drives you or what motivates you? You know, we're approaching a new year, and you know, in just a couple of days, people will be, they've already forgotten about Christmas, and now they're buying their New Year's decorations. And I was in the store the other day, and I saw Valentine's candy. And it kind of hit me, it shocked me. I thought, what in the world? I guess they're getting ready for the next one. You know, it's all so commercialized today that everything is pushed, it's pushed. And, you know, but the next thing we're going to see is we're going to see New Year's celebrations. And people are going to be going out and whatever there drives them, they're going to be following that. You know, there's some people that are going to be on the roads in a couple of days, and you better watch out for them. You better be careful. Yeah. You know, I see them a lot of times because on New Year's Day morning, I'm generally up about 3 o'clock, and I'm headed out either to go fishing or go hunting because it's a day that I happen to be off work. And it's usually real cold the way that I like it. And I'm going out and I'm running into people that have not been to sleep yet. And they're out and I'm dodging them on the roads and I'm paying attention to them. And I realize, just like as I've said, they got a different agenda than I do. They're motivated by something that's different than what I'm motivated by. But you know what you're going to hear during these times in the next couple of days is people are going to be talking about resolutions. We've all heard the term and the talk about a New Year's resolution, you know, where people decide, I want to do something or I want to accomplish something, and here's my New Year's resolution. Sometimes what people say is my New Year's resolution is to lose the pounds that I have gained during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, I like that. I like the idea of that. Sometimes my resolution is I want to pay off the debt that I've accumulated in the past 2 months in the next 6 months or something like that. You know, that's a good resolution, right? Maybe you got a resolution of you want to accomplish something and people come up with those things. And, you know, I want to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to get into the scripture because I want to tell you something. We need to be motivated, but we need to be motivated by the right things. And sometimes I see people in this day and time that don't have the right motivation. And here's what I want everybody to understand. I believe we're living in times that are getting close to the return of Christ. I do, and I think it's important that God's people be doing the things that are pleasing to God. They be serving God and doing what God wants them to do. But we're living in times today where people, they think they can have a resolution to accomplish something, and for more and more people, they think they can accomplish something without God. They think they can resolve to turn over a new leaf to be a better person. They can resolve to turn over some type of situation in their life to make themselves better. But many, many times, people think they can do it without God. You see, by definition, resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. Have you ever said, I'm not going to do that anymore? I have. The Bible says in one place, it's better not to make a vow unto the Lord than to make one and break it. There have been times that I've actually come down and prayed, and I've said, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll never do that again. And it was in my heart, but I don't know that I had the ability or the will within myself to do it. How many times have we heard people over and over again say, I won't ever get involved with that, or I won't ever go down that road again, but they find themselves right back at the same place? What is resolve? Resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action, to make up one's mind, or to make a decision. The problem with resolution or resolve is the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? You see, sometimes in us, we may have it in ourselves or a thought that we're going to accomplish or we're going to do something, but I don't believe that man alone is able to stand. You see, I don't believe that man alone is able to do the things that he even sometimes determines in his own heart and mind that he wants to do. You see, I don't consider myself strong. My strength comes from the Lord. And if I'm going to be able to strong, or if I'm going to be able to be a godly man, then I believe it's going to take God to do that. By the same token, you know, as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, a lot of times I get, you know, asked to perform weddings. And, you know, I've decided as a Christian and as a preacher, as a minister, that if I do a wedding, it's going to be a Christian wedding. You know, they're going to hear about Jesus, and they're going to be told that it takes three to make a marriage. It takes God first, and it takes the man and the woman. By the same token, I do a lot of funerals. Sometimes I get called to do a funeral, and it may not be someone that I even know, and it sometimes is even someone that's distant from even people that I'm associated with. And I've decided that as a minister of the gospel, that if I get called to do a funeral, I'm going to preach the word of God just like everybody there believes it, because that's where I stand. You see, that's my resolution and that's my resolve. But I tell you that to tell you this, it's not my strength or my ability, because I have none. I want to go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, and I want to read the 14th and the 15th verse as we talk about the resolution of a godly man. And I want you to listen to what Joshua is saying. Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, folks, that is the resolution of a godly man. It's making a decision. Now, here's what Joshua's saying. You choose for yourself. I have already chosen for myself, and I am going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do, because my mind is already made up. You see, Joshua had proven the Lord. And he had proven before that he was going to serve the Lord regardless of what other people did. And now, as he stands before the people, he is proclaiming it. And I want to go back just a little bit and look at the history of Joshua. But I want you to understand something, and I want us to look and consider something this morning. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to accept God. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe in heaven. It's not something that you will be forced to do. It is a decision, and it is a personal choice, because God has given man the volition of a free will to where you can decide if you're going to serve him or not. But the Bible does say very plainly that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, why do you say those two things together? Because on this earth, the resolution that you have to live your life is completely up to you. But I want you to understand, whether you follow God or not, he's still God. Whether you believe in him or not does not nullify or negate his existence. When you say you don't want to serve him, you can say that here, but there will come a time when the Bible says that every person is going to stand before him and give an account. And when you stand before Almighty God, it will no longer be, is he God or is he not God? You will recognize him as God, but you will know at that time that no, he is not your God, because you have missed your opportunity to bow to him willfully, and you will fall before him prostrate in fear, because he is Almighty God and he holds the keys of death and of hell, and you will not enter into heaven without a personal relationship with God. You know, people say today, well, I just don't believe all that Bible stuff. I don't believe God, and I'm not going to follow him. You don't have to. But guess what? You won't go to heaven either. And the Bible says very plainly that you will live forever in eternity, and without God, you will live in eternal separation from God. Now, that's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. And that's just, when we look at what Joshua is saying here, and you know, the topic this morning in Sunday school, brother, it's peculiar. And I tell you, sometimes I think we need to talk more about it. And sometimes Christian people need to understand that when you choose to follow God and you resolve to follow him, there's going to be some suffering in your life. But because some people come to God, they only want to come to God like he's a candy jar. And he's more than that. He's a living Savior. And if you understand what the apostles and the disciples suffered because they followed him. Not everybody followed him. Not everybody chose to follow him. But what about Joshua? Joshua followed the Lord, and he said, as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Now let's go back and look at history for just a little bit. You look at the book of Numbers, chapter number 13 and chapter number 14. During this time, there were 12 men from 12 tribes that were sent to spy the land. Among these were, if you go back and look at the scripture there in the 14th chapter, were Oshea, which his name was Moses, called him Jehoshua, and the other was Caleb. And out of these 12, there were only two that actually believed God. Can you imagine even being among God's people, and because you're one that says, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to believe God, you're even persecuted by those that should be among your own brethren. You see, when they went into the land was fruitful, and the Bible says it was so fruitful that they brought a cluster of grapes that they had to put it upon a pole and bear it between two men on their shoulders. Now, if you've ever worked in a garden and you understand what it's like to have a fruitful garden, can you imagine a cluster of grapes that's so big when you picked it, you had to put it upon a pole and put it between two men's shoulders? They saw this. They saw the fruit of the land. They saw that the land truly did flow with milk and honey. And God said, I'm going to give you, my people, this land. But of these that were there, the men from 10 of the tribes murmured. And they said, we can't take the land. In this land are walled cities. In this land are the children of Amalek. There are giants in the land. And we are but mere grasshoppers in their sight. Remember, it's not about us, it's about him. Have you ever been in a situation in your life you said, God, if it's going to work out, you're going to have to do it. God, if we're going to have strength, you're going to have to do it. God, if it's going to be performed, you're going to have to do it. That's when God gets glorified. Not when we look at our enemies or we look at those that are against us and say, we are stronger than them. Let's just understand something. It's not about us. It is about Him. And God could have been ultimately glorified if the people had just listened to Joshua and Caleb when they said, we can do this. God has given us this. He said that we could have it. But here's what the people did. The people began to say, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? But here's something I believe we need to understand. How do you pray? You ever thought about that? How do I pray and know the Lord's will? The Bible teaches us if we ask anything according to His will, He gives it to us. Now, here's something that I believe. This is the way that I look at that. It's before we pray about something, maybe we ought to pray about what God's will is. God, is it your will? Because if you get in line with the will of God, and it's the will of God, it's going to happen. I mean, you can say, well, it's impossible. We're not big enough. We can't do it. Wait a minute. Is it God's will? God already told them, I'm going to give you the land. They didn't look and see what God said. They said, we don't have the ability in ourselves to accomplish that. God said, you're not supposed to. I'm going to do it. And if we get in line with the will of God, then God will perform what He said He would. Now, here's something I want Christians to understand. We're living in times today where we may feel like Joshua and Caleb, and we see the 10 walking away, and we wonder what's going to happen, and we wonder what's happening next. We need just to stay faithful to the will of God, because here's what's going to happen. Regardless of what happens in 2020, regardless of what happens in 2021, Jesus Christ is still the Son of God. He has no equal. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. He will return for His church. He will take care of His children. And we're going to heaven. And ain't nothing the devil can do about that. There ain't nothing the spies that don't believe can do about that. There's nothing that the people, the giants in the land can do about that. Joshua in the 14th chapter and 8th verse says this, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the Lord of the land. For they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. But the people, they rejected the words of Joshua and Caleb, so much so that in the 10th verse, it says the congregation basically said, stone them with stones. In other words, they're telling us to trust God. And it got to the point that they threatened to stone them. You see, the scripture teaches us that the response of the people, the murmuring, the complaining, displeased the Lord until God punished them. You see, the Lord turned the people back into the wilderness, and He did not let them. They were that close to going into the land that God promised them. But because they murmured, because they complained, they were turned back into the wilderness, and they wandered in the wilderness. And if you ever look at a map of it, just wandering around for 40 years. 40 years. And according to numerology, when you study your Bible, the number 40 means judgment. And they're there in the wilderness for 40 years, and all the people that were above the age of 20 years old, except for Joshua and Caleb, they died in the wilderness. And the scripture said, now God blessed them because their shoes didn't wax old on their feet and their clothes, they lasted all that time. Wouldn't you like for a set of tires to last 20 or 40 years? They're out there and God's blessing them, but these people are leaving because they don't believe the promise of God. Here's the point. They didn't believe the promise of God. They didn't believe they could enter the promised land. Guess what? They didn't enter the promised land. The 10 spies who did not believe, they died of the plague before the Lord. You see, I want to go back and read it again. In the 15th verse, in the latter part of the verse, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, when Joshua spoke these words, which were later, he spoke them with great resolve, because he had firmly and completely made his decision that I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God regardless of what these over here do and regardless of what these over there do. I'm going to follow God. But I want you to understand something about Joshua as he chose to follow the Lord. In the process of doing that, he faced betrayals. Remember the people, they said, we can't take Jericho. We can't go into this land. There are giants in the land. And then they even said of Joshua and Caleb, let us stone them with stones. Now, folks, these are those that at one time before may have been close. They were their brothers. They were those that were close to them. And they were betrayed by them because they chose to follow God because of their resolve. What else did they do? They suffered loss. Have you ever thought about how, if you had been there and you had been Joshua and Caleb and those that were sent with you, and God looked at the people and he looked at the murmuring of the people and he pronounced judgment? You see, the judgment is in Numbers chapter number 14 and verse number 29. The Lord said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear and to make to you dwell in there, save Caleb the son of Nun, Jehunah and Joshua the son of Nun. You see, they suffered loss because from 20 years old and upward they all died. Now, these did not have the resolve of Joshua. But here's what I want you to understand. These were family and these were friends of Joshua and Caleb. These were people that they cared about. But Joshua still said, you choose who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, he kept his resolve. Joshua, along with Caleb, may have lived, but they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of the sin of the people. Sometimes the thing that troubles me is I look at America, and I know Jesus is coming, and I know not God's going to take care of his people, but sometimes I wonder what it's going to take in this land for the people to turn back to God. What is it going to take for America to have revival, for people to have resolve to do the right thing? When we look at the history of this nation, and I believe with all of my heart that this nation is a fulfillment of end times getting ready for Jesus Christ to come, the whole nation in itself, because of the mission work that this nation has done, because of technology, because of fulfilling of the scripture, where it says many will run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in those days. But if we understand that and we realize that and we see it and we realize where God wants us to be, what is it going to take for America to get the heart back that it had during the times of maybe what I hear people talk about World War II, when the doors of the church were not locked and people would come in and pray? You know, we can't leave them unlocked anymore. We have to have an alarm system. They'll rob us blind. You know, you even talk about putting a pole across the driveway out here to keep people from coming in and tearing up the parking lot because they don't have respect for the house of God. What is it going to take in America to get people to cry out to God, to pray right, to vote right, to act right, and to do right, and not to have the resolution be this, to self-serve in every area and aspect of my life? Sometimes when I think about it, I say, Jesus, please come quickly. Because if Jesus doesn't come quickly, what does that mean? That means the longer that we're on this earth, I believe the more the resolve of the Christian people has to be strong, because there's going to be more wandering in the wilderness. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they had to go into the wilderness too. And for 40 years, believing God and trusting God, one thing they didn't do. The negativity did not stop his resolve. You see, the verse we read, you choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. These are after those times. You see, they suffered loss. The loss of family, the loss of friends, and some of us have too. They've suffered shame, and some of us have too. They've suffered betrayal, and some of us have too. But we must keep pressing forward. In the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, verse number 13 and 14, these are the writing of Paul. And he's talking about even after some of the sufferings that Paul had for the cause of Christ. Remember on the road to Damascus, God called him. But if you read and study about the life of Paul, when he chose to preach the gospel, he was persecuted. He was stoned with stones. He was betrayed by those that at one time were close to him. But here's what he said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the suffering did not stop the resolve. The wandering in the wilderness did not stop the resolve. Can you imagine how Joshua and Caleb felt when God said, after 40 years, let's go into the promised land? They were ready. They were more than ready. Sometimes when I look around me at what God's doing in this country, I'll tell you outside today, I know it's a little cold out there. But when I walk outside and that sun hits me in the face on a cool day like today and that wind's not blowing and I look around and I look up at the blueness of the sky, folks, I can't help but think about God. I can't help but think about God's greatness. When I'm sitting on Christmas morning and I'm looking down into the bright eyes of my grandchildren opening those gifts, I cannot help, Brother Tommy, but to think about God. When I'm driving down the road yesterday and the moon was in the sky at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I couldn't help but think about God and God's creation. You know, folks, when I turn on the shower and that warm water comes out, I thank God. And I don't understand today, living in the day and time that we're living in, why people don't get on their knees and thank Him for what He's done and let the resolution of a godly man to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord and we'll be thankful for everything that God has given us. But that's not where people are at. So what is the resolution of a godly man? Joshua said, as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you can choose for yourself. I've already chosen for myself. I'm going to serve the Lord. And you know, I believe for most people, in a lot of ways, this has been a tough year. But for me as a Christian, I don't know where to go but to the Lord. I don't know where else to go. I just go to my God. You see, and when we look around us and we see a world that's in many ways is progressively drifting away from God, does that mean we're going to go with them? Or we're going to let our resolve be that I am going to follow God? Now, can I share with you something that's on my heart and mind as I think about a resolution of a godly man? You know, sometimes what you've got to have is you've got to have willpower. Joshua had it. He stood, remember the time that he stood and he saw the angel standing over there and he didn't know that it was from God and he drew his sword. He said, are you against us or are you for us? Because I'm going to stand. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. There needs to be some people today that will decide to stand. You know, I get calls and I hear about people that are in trouble. I hear about people that are in need. And folks, let me just tell you where I'm at. I don't understand how a man can take the last $25 that he's got and go buy drugs and let his children go hungry. I don't know how you can take it and go buy alcohol and let your children go hungry. I don't know how you can let your mind and your hearts drift that far away from God. When do you get to the point that your resolution is, I'm going to do what's right no matter what, even when it hurts? See, people today aren't willing to hurt. Joshua hurt for the Lord. He suffered for the Lord. He spent time in the wilderness trying for 40 years to encourage people to trust God. Seeing people that didn't trust God fall away. He said, and it doesn't matter what you do, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to read just a couple of verses to you out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know, sometimes people say, well, these are my life verses, and I've got in my Bible here that I carry, that I preach out of. I've got places in the front of my Bible where preachers have signed my Bible. It's just something that I got into when I was in Bible college, and I was around a lot of evangelists. I've got George Grace here, Bill Stafford, you may know who some of these are, Herb Revis. Now, folks, these are men that preach. If they didn't preach the Word of God, they didn't sign my Bible. You know what I'm saying? Junior Hill, evangelist. Steve Robertson. Herb Revis. And Brother Tommy, there are others that I wish I had signed here. You know, if I could, Brother Martha, we'd have Quinn Evans right here. We'd have Joe Holcomb III, my dad, right here. We'd have Harley Kimmons, which was my dad's pastor, right here. And I could go on. But my life verse, and what they do, the reason I showed you that, is they always write their life verse underneath their name. I can remember a time in my life, I got saved when I was 12, but I talk about surrender a lot because there's a lot of people that are saved that have never surrendered. I got saved when I was 12. I surrendered when I was 18. And God showed me this verse, and this is what helped me through. And folks, when I surrendered, I didn't have a good paying job. I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have a nice truck. I didn't have a $100 pair of tennis shoes. And I didn't have all the fishing and hunting and outdoor stuff I have now. I didn't have much. But I knew who God was. And I had to make a decision about what I was going to do in my life, regardless of what my future held. And God showed me this verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You see, how to have godly resolve is to say, I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. I will not lean to my own understanding. Remember, it's not about us, it's about Him. You know, sometimes we can accomplish things that we never would have thought we could have accomplished if we do it with God. And as I stand here before you today, I will tell you that many things in my life have been accomplished that I never would have been able to thought that I could have accomplished. And I'm not saying it about me. I know it's not about me. It's about Him. And even looking at tomorrow, and we look at our lives, and we look at the challenges, and we look at the burdens, if you go with God and it's God's will, you're going to be okay. And if it's not God's path for you, then get ready to go the direction God wants you to go. He said, I will not lean into my own understanding. Then I will acknowledge the Lord and allow Him to guide me in all of my ways. That's tough. And I'm not going to stand here before you and tell you it's not. You know, what if God told me and my wife, we want you to go to the mission field? If He wanted us to go, you know what it says here in the latter part of the sixth verse? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What does that mean? It means to cut a path. You see, something that's God's will, God goes before you and He makes a way. So whether it be the mission field or ministry or moving to a place you're unfamiliar with or accomplishing some task that you don't think you can accomplish, or working in an environment, or doing something for God, or even accomplishing something in business. Do you know that God wants to bless you? Don't be afraid. Trust Him. Because God wants to bless you. I have seen God bless people in such a way that I have actually said, God, I want your hand on me like I see it on them. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen God put his hand on somebody in such a way that you can say, God, I want to get close enough to you that your hand of blessing is on me? That's what it means when it says he will direct your paths. He will cut a path. But it comes from putting God absolutely in the right place. And you say, well, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Folks, getting up and getting out of the bed in the morning when it's 19 degrees outside is hard. Going to work every day to a job for 40 years is hard. Everybody's air conditioner quits at some point. Everybody's dishwasher quits at some point. And sometimes you can decide to serve the Lord and your kids won't act right and your in-laws won't do right and your outlaws won't do right. It's hard. But what would it be like if you didn't have God? See, what we need to do is be faithful. We need godly resolve. And we need the Lord to guide us. And what we need to do in 2021, because we don't know what 21 is going to hold. I'm going to ask Kendra to come on. She's going to sing. I've heard people say, boy, I just can't wait for 2020 to get behind us. And I've thought, well, maybe. Maybe. You see, the Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. See, I'd love to look at 2021 and know we're going to have a national revival and know that people are just going to start. You know, I can remember being in church when I was young and evangelists would get up and preach and every service you'd have somebody accept Jesus Christ to be saved. I'd love to see that, but we don't know what 2021 is going to hold. What we need to do is decide we're going to follow God regardless. We're going to trust God regardless because I'm on the winning side. Kendra's going to sing a song, ask you to rise to your feet. What are you looking for in 2021? What I need the Lord's direction. I need the Lord's favor. And I've already decided that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, sometimes people are worried about this and are worried about that. It doesn't really matter who's president. I'm still going to serve God. Amen. Doesn't really matter who's in Congress or Senate. I'm going to serve God. Amen. We're going to keep having church and we're going to keep preaching the gospel. And we're going to help everybody we can. Because I believe until the last person is saved, that God knows is going to be saved. That's when the Lord's going to come. Right. And you know, he may send them here. Right. We just need to be prepared to do our part. If God spoke to you, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. Altars are always open. If you'd like to come, would you please come?
Christ, you can be saved.